Greetings and welcome to this transmission of Toward the Light, Leading Back to the Source. This is a program centered on near-death, out-of-body, and similar spiritually transformative experiences and related topics, including what people should know about the dying process, the many facets of after-death communications, living interdimensionally and being multisensory, intuition and telepathy, and more. We feature special guests who are both experiencers and researchers in the realm of NDEs and related topics. You're welcome to ring in to make comments or ask questions during the show. We also would like to encourage you to support this program and Toward the Light by making a donation or sponsoring a program. For more information, please visit towardthelight.org. This is Reverend Juliet Nightingale, and please excuse me, I do have a bit of a cold, so I apologize about that. This week, I'm very pleased to have someone who's been through profound, life-changing experiences, to say the very least, the author of a number of books. One is called Blue Blood, True Blood, Conflict and Creation, and another one is The Healer's Handbook, A Journey into Hyperspace. Please welcome to Toward the Light, Mr. Stuart Swerdlow. Welcome, Stuart.
Thank you very much.
It's very nice to have you with us this week. And I can see that you have really enjoyed reading your books, by the by, and also have seen that you've been through experiences of which I would call that, at the very least, stretch the mind and the entire being. And I would like to ask you to begin by sharing some of the experiences that you've had. I know not the least of which was centered around the Montauk Project. And go ahead and tell us a little bit about that. And I know that this has also led you into some very significant healing work as well. So share with us some of your... Go ahead.
Yes, Montauk Project was an outgrowth of the Cold War and actually was also related to the 1947 Roswell UFO crash, where they received a lot of technology that they then applied for some various reasons. Montauk Project was from 1970 to 1983. It was involving time travel, mind control experimentation, genetic manipulation, a whole range of electromagnetic technologies that they were testing out and perfecting, which unfortunately they were successful in doing, and these days is pretty much global in nature.
Yeah.
I was used in experimentation for mind control and time travel, and basically they tried to create a person who could see into other dimensions without the use of a device. And that involved submitting myself and other subjects to microwave and electromagnetic waves, which left me blind, physically blind, for over 29 years, and I actually could only see energetically.
Wow. Okay. I didn't realize that. What was the age range of this? I know it was through a period of years, wasn't it?
Yes, and I estimated that in that 13-year range of the experiment, they probably used anywhere from 200,000 to 300,000 people in the experimentation. And the age range was everything from newborn to elderly, but I would say that the majority of the people used were approximately 15, 16 to about 35. That was the majority, but every age category was used.
Now, they actually used and manipulated you when you were a small child, is that correct?
Yes, that was not Montauk Project, though. That was actually more alien slash government use.
Ah, okay. I apologize because I was connecting with this with Montauk, and I wasn't really sure where, you know, where some of these events occurred or what they were connected to. But I know ultimately they're all very connected, as I'm sure we're going to be talking about.
Yes, yes. Unfortunately, ultimately the connection is for the powers that be to have complete and total global domination. population and turn the population into robots that follow directions and don't ask questions.
Yes, and we see a lot of those people all around, don't we, who don't really bother to think for themselves.
Yes, yes, unfortunately. And I think the media, news, etc., really have a say or hand in that, because they basically tell people what to think and what to believe. And with all the additives that they put in food and medications, etc., people really have been dulled mentally and can't think for themselves.
Yes. Now, I want to ask you a question, because this is very interesting. Again, I didn't realize that you had experienced blindness.
Yes.
And I was totally blind for the first 5 years of my life. And then have remained since what they call legally blind, which I prefer to say illegally blind.
Yes.
But I found that for myself, I saw a great deal whilst I was totally blind. Lots of color, lots of light into other dimensions. I saw a lot of things that people would not see on the physical plane. So it would be interesting to compare notes with you and find out some of the things that you saw, that you experienced whilst you were blind, because I have found that blindness, so-called physical blindness, actually allows one or even forces one to see more deeply, if that makes sense.
Oh, I agree with you completely, because during those 29 years when I couldn't see physical reality, I felt I actually experienced a wider range of what was out there, because I could see the energy around people in their bodies, their thoughts, their DNA. Of course, a lot of this was enhanced technologically at the Montauk Project. My only difficulty, believe it or not, I actually, despite my blindness, carried on with life as if I wasn't blind, and I actually even drove, which wasn't wasn't the best thing, though, at times. But especially when it was raining or snowing and the energy of the falling liquids would really be a disturbance to me, because then I really couldn't see where I was going. It was just such a range of swirling energy. So
yes,
that was a problem. But yes, I felt that I could see better than sighted people. And when I had some corrective surgery to reconnect my optic nerves to the brain, which was in December of 99, I didn't know what to expect when they took the bandages off. I didn't know if I'd be totally blind or if I would see energy. But in fact, when I opened my eyes, it was as if there was another overlay. In other words, I could see the physical reality overlaid in the energetic.
Yes.
So this can be a disturbance as well. And very often when I speak to people, although they think it's probably strange, I sometimes look away or close my eyes because I'd rather see them energetically than physically.
That makes total sense. I do that all the time. I really do. Now, and something else with this, too, is that I sometimes will give it the correlation of being like a superimposed or double-exposed photograph, where you can see layers.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And when I look at a person's energy, of course, when I do readings or consultations with people, the first thing I do is ask permission, because otherwise I feel it's an intrusion. You know, it's kind of like going into someone's home and going through their closets and drawers. And so I always ask permission. And I spent a lot of years learning how to not pay attention, you know, because when I was with a crowd of people or passing by someone and suddenly I would see something, I had to learn to just not pay attention, because it would be an intrusion. And of course, if you went over to the person and said, "Excuse me, I see such and such in your energy," they would think you were quite insane.
Yes, yes.
You know, one of the
I'm hearing a lot more of that kind of thing going on, and I can do it too, although admittedly I'm a bit shy, so I'm not going to come out and start saying something to someone unless I intuitively feel invited to do so. But I know exactly what you're talking about. Go ahead. What else were you going to say?
Well, one of the most disturbing things that happened to me in recent years was I was at a restaurant in Malibu, and someone just happened to brush by me and like brush my arm, and instantly I knew that that person was going to be attacked by a knife and possibly be killed. But there was no way I could go over to that person and say, you know, you're going to be killed shortly by someone who's going to attack you. So all I could do was leave it up to Oversoul, put the person in protection, and just let it go and hope for the best. Yeah.
Were you able to find out anything about that person or what transpired?
No, because, I mean, he was a total stranger. I didn't know anything about it. And, of course, you know, in L.A., people get murdered daily. So there'd be no way I would know it was him.
Wow, very interesting. It was very profound what I read in Blue Blood, True Blood. Really appreciating this book a lot. And it certainly, to say the very least, was very familiar to me, what you were writing about. And, you know, it's certainly, and you even say this in the book, that it's not so much a mystery anymore. It's really becoming quite mainstream that people are starting to find out who really controls this planet.
Yes.
And its inhabitants. And I do feel that it's very important to know the truth, because my attitude is that when you know the truth, then you can take responsibility and do something about it.
Mm-hmm.
But also, I like to focus on the good news that we can do something about it, that we do not have to continue to be slaves and even become more enslaved. And you also had these very trying, traumatic experiences that fortunately you were able to overcome them, you were able to rise above them, but they did serve to really show you a lot and teach you a lot about what is going on. What is it that you feel enabled you to really triumph over the adversity, as it were, to rise above it and then move into the healing work and the teaching work that you do now?
Yes, that's a very good question. And I think that the turning point was when I realized that if I had continued in that vein of feeling victimized by those who had done this to me and with me, that I really might as well just lay down and die or live in a closet. And, of course, I had, when the project crashed in 1983, I had children and I was married to someone at the time. And I realized that if I didn't get a grip on myself or do something, turn this around into something positive, that it was really just doom and gloom for not myself but my children and the entire world. I also realized that the same energy that was used to mind control people and genetically alter them could then be used also for something positive, because it is energy, and energy in itself is neutral unless directed by mind. For example, you could take a knife and make a beautiful carving with it, or you could kill someone with it. It's the same knife, it's just what you do with the energy. And so I decided to take what I learned in my experiences and help people to undo the victimization mentality. Because I realize that if tomorrow morning, if everyone on the earth would wake up and have no more victimization, there could not be this control system any longer on the earth. And so, when you look at the fact that people use less than 10% capacity of their brain, and only 3 to 4% capacity of their DNA, if we can reverse that and open up a greater percentage of both, there's no telling the great possibilities that we could do on this planet.
Now, let's talk about that a little bit, because that is very interesting. Of course, I'm aware of that as well and have studied it. And I have associated the 90-odd percent and 90% of the DNA, what is being commonly referred to erroneously as junk DNA,
and the
90% of the brain. I see this as being connected with our interdimensional selves.
Yes, absolutely.
And so let's talk about this a bit, because people need to be aware that there's so much more to us than most people realize.
Yes, well, the mere fact, if we look at that 97% of so-called junk DNA, and we realize that whether you're an amoeba or an elephant or a human being or an alien, that 97% is the commonality between all. And it's only the 3% that differentiates species and individuals within those species. So to me, in my mind, that 97% commonality in DNA is really proof of the God mind within all of us.
Yeah.
So that we all have the same potential because it's so pervasive throughout all creation.
And that is something that cannot be stressed enough.
Yes, yes, I agree. Yeah. So if we all tap in to that commonality and look at the God mind within and realize that there's infinite realities, infinite universes and existences, and we are connected to all of that, it is absolutely amazing how powerful each one of us is.
Yes. Very, very good points you're making here, Stuart. And as one who's not only been to the other side, but also have popped in and out of different dimensions simultaneously, I'm really aware of and familiar with what you're talking about here. And, of course, being on the other side and not coming from the perspective of mortal mind and the physical body, I was completely removed from that, obviously, and I was just myself and consciousness, pure consciousness, I could actually see and talk about seeing. There was no blindness, of course, on the other side either. I had 360-degree vision. With this, I could see and feel that infinity and that total oneness with all.
Exactly.
It's hard to grasp through mortal mind, and maybe we could talk about some ways to help people stretch and move beyond ego, because that's so very different from who we really are.
Yes,
The
ego.
We've done a lot of work with. Go ahead.
Well, the ego, you know, our brain is split into left and right hemispheres, and the ego is centered in the left brain or left hemisphere, where our logical mind and our self-identity physically is located. And the right brain has the creative side, the non-physical, emotional, spiritual side. So if we balance the two and we can bring the creative and the logical together at the pineal gland located at the center of the head between the two hemispheres, then we can actually create energetically into physically everything that we need or want to have in our environment and for the world. And a lot of my work is centered on developing the energy of the pineal gland and balancing the two hemispheres so that we can bring all the energies together and manifest everything that is necessary.
Now let's talk about that a little bit, because once again, when I was on the other side, with just a thought, I could create something, or with a thought about someone, I would be with that person. It literally happened instantaneously.
Right.
And I can see people shaking their heads. How can that be? So how would you, what can you share with us about how we can manifest that on the physical plane, which I know being a dense dimensional frequency is harder to do.
Yes.
But I know that there are ways of doing it. There are beings on this planet who do it all the time.
Yes, and we all have that potential. In the Montauk Project, we learned that every point in time and space has a unique vibration or frequency. So that if we can tune in mentally to that specific point in time and space, whether it's a place, a thing, or a person, there's an instantaneous connection. Because what we're doing is literally vibrating our own energy to what we're thinking about mentally so that there is a connection there. Because obviously there cannot be more than one point with exactly the same vibration. So when we tune into it, we connect instantaneously to it. And same, when we visualize something, whatever that may be, it has a unique vibration. And then if we mentally project it out from our minds and then use the color brown around it to ground and balance it, the color brown tells it to happen at this very moment. Because, you know, when we go into the astral or to the hyperspace levels, there is no time and space.
Exactly.
So that when, yeah, so when we project something out, it could happen tomorrow or 10,000 years from tomorrow. So we need a color code like brown to make it happen right now. So this is one of the basics that I would teach in language of hyperspace classes, where you use the color codes to actually help create as a sentence to achieve the goal that you want.
So let's talk about these colors a little bit, because I know that the colors do correspond with our chakras, which mm-hmm. all have very deep meaning. And I did notice that the color brown was, it is connected with the earth, with the the energy of the earth. So let's talk about some of these colors and what they mean and how we can use them in our healing, because, of course, I'm very sensitive to color and have and you may be familiar with this, when I was spending time in Nashville, Tennessee, there were practitioners that I encountered who used color through light, and each color would have a different effect on somebody, and they called it color therapy.
Mm-hmm.
And I could see the colors that were corresponding with the different chakras as well, and each color has got a different frequency, obviously. So go ahead and share with us a bit about the different colors and how they correspond to the chakras and different parts of the body.
Right. Well, interestingly, the color brown is really not even a chakra color, but
No, I didn't realize that. Mm.
Yeah, but which actually resonates with the Earth's gravitational field, which does have a brown color, and that is why tree bark and sand and soil all have brown tones to them, because they're resonating with this energy. And the largest part of our bodies, from the top of the thighs to the bottom of the feet, are actually resonating with the Earth and would keep us grounded and have a brown color. So that's, to me, a very interesting aspect of color therapy and energy, is that the largest part of ourself is not even a chakra color, but rather a gravitational energy. And if we were to leave the Earth and go into space, we would, in effect, not need the brown grounding energy, because it would not be associated with the gravity.
Yes.
And then the chakra system actually starts with the red color at the root or base chakra at the perineum. And here's where shading is very, very important, because in my work, I talk about the root or base chakra having actually a pale red color, which is energy and creative. But as you get into the brighter and darker aspects of red, then the mind pattern or the energy behind it can be anger or hostility or frustration, etc. So we must be very careful in shading when we work with the colors.
Very good point there. Very good point indeed. And then this, what are some of the areas of healing with the color pale red?
Well, for example, the color is associated with the root or base chakra. So everything from a pubic bone to top of thighs, everything in between would be associated with healing whatever organs are in that particular part of the body. And then we must be careful. See, when I work with chakra system and chakra spinning, I actually tell people to start with the brown energy and not with the red, because since the brown is grounding, it would preclude any premature kundalini activation from occurring, because there's a lot of modalities out there, kundalini yoga, kundalini exercises, that actually promote people to force the kundalini energy. But I find that this can be quite dangerous if the person isn't ready, because it can lead to both mental and physical illnesses. And I worked for a number of years as a developmental specialist in mental health facilities, where I did see people who had active kundalini and really could no longer relate to the earth plane, and therefore were considered to be insane, when in fact they just needed to ground and balance.
Would you like to describe that a little bit, what, you know, manifests for our listeners when the kundalini is activated?
Yeah, well, basically, it's just as an explanation. Kundalini activation is when all of the chakras open simultaneously in sequence and goes from the root all the way up to the crown and through the pineal, and it literally blasts you open so that you may then become aware of many realities simultaneously but not be able to focus in any one of them. And I do believe that a lot of people with multiple personality disorder or dissociative identity disorder really have a kundalini activation. It can happen from medication. It can happen from a bump on the head. It can happen from a traumatic experience. But my belief is that kundalini is really part of that 97% genetics that is called junk, so-called, and that each one of us has a genetic predisposition as to whether or not we will reach full kundalini in this lifetime or not, or whether it will happen in some other lifetime in the future. I don't feel that it is a goal, but rather a natural opening process over the course of a lifetime or many lifetimes, so as our experience and understanding grows, then so does the open chakra system then activate and open sequence after sequence. So I don't know if I made that clear or not, but it's, in other words, it's a natural process that shouldn't be prematurely or artificially enhanced.
Well, that makes a lot of sense. And would you say that a lot more people are having this experience? So I want to say, excuse me, a number of people who are ready, they're being quickened and open up. It's, you know, at a very precise time, it seems that all of a sudden somebody becomes intensely aware and they know that they've got to follow a special path. They've got to do something with this awareness and this really tapping into their true self and their calling on this plane. And, of course, this happened to you as well. What age were you when this happened to you? I know that you talked about your kundalini, of course, being prematurely activated.
Yeah. Well, it was artificially activated at the age of 13 when I entered into the Montauk Project. And so I was not at all fully prepared for it, nor did I even understand it at that time. And all I knew was that I was seeing beings and existences that most people shouldn't or haven't seen. And it was a very difficult time period for me. I was kind of in the world, but not of the world.
Yes.
So everything was odd. In other words, I felt like an alien. I felt like this planet had no reference for me. And it was a very difficult situation. And to some extent, it still is that way because I quite honestly find the world to be a very difficult place and people to be quite difficult to understand and to interact with because of other things that are going on. For example, some of the kundalini activation that is happening on the planet now is a result of mind control and programming. So it's hard sometimes to discern whether something is natural or unnatural. And unfortunately, I would say on the planet now, because of what's going on in the so-called end times, that a lot of the awakening may very well be a result of mind control and programming. I have only seen a very few individuals who have a natural process going on because, quite honestly, the whole planet is ringed with satellites and cell towers, and they're constantly beaming ELF and microwave 24/7. So it's a battle constantly to discern what is your own thought and what is being transmitted to you.
That's a very important point, and it might be good to talk about how we can discern, because I actually think about that quite a lot myself, and I also share your experiences, but this has been true all of my life. feeling very disconnected from this plane. But I think a lot of it is intentional. But, and I was also told whilst I was on the other side that I wasn't to identify with this plane. So it was a really powerful validation for me, letting me know that I had work to do here, but this was not my identity. It was just a place that I was sojourning through and doing work. But with these experiences that are very challenging, how can we discern, how can we know that, or discern the thoughts that are coming from the light source, from the oversoul, as opposed to thoughts that are being manipulated and projected into us?
Correct. Well, if you are able to learn to open up the pineal and look at the energy fields, a lot of the ELF and microwave has a bright or darker yellow color. And some of it also has a navy blue color and even brighter reds. So when we become literally police people of our own thoughts, and we think about, okay, where did that thought just come from? If we look at the energy of it, and we see these brighter yellows and reds coming from the thought pattern, then we can be assured that it is basically an ELF transmission. And so we need to then ground and balance ourselves, keep ourselves in protective energy, and so that it's filtered through this energy of protection so that we can be aware of our own thoughts coming from within ourselves and not externally to us. And a good point that you made is that if we then connect to the oversoul by visualizing a silver infinity symbol over the crown and we filter everything through that, then we know this is coming from a higher part of ourself or from our own mind pattern and not from some artificial source.
How would people see and recognize these colors, those who may not be so intuitive or sensitive or perceptive, what have you?
Yes, good point. And of course, some of the work I teach is to open up the pineal gland to be aware of the colors and see them. But if we're not at that level yet, a lot of the people that I speak with and teach say they go by a feeling. They go because it's a vibration, obviously, all the thoughts. So if it doesn't feel right, or if they even question it, just the simple idea of questioning a thought is a red flag to know that it's not yours. Because if it is from within you, it would not be questioned. There would be no doubt or confusion about it. So go by how you feel. Go by what you're thinking about it. If there's even a doubt about what you're thinking, then it would suggest it's not your own.
Okay. I think we might have a caller. Have we got a caller?
Oh, yeah, this is Michael.
Hello, Michael.
And the Kono Aini Serpent arose on me when I was 18 or 19, and it was a big white flash. But I really appreciated the fact he talked about the brown energy and grounding, because brown stands for materialism. And you actually have to be up in contact with the divine and all that. But on the other hand, if you're still around and you haven't died, what that means is you need to deal with the world. Now, I was just wondering, you both seem to be very good, and I was just wondering if you could give me a little insight as to how to go forward, because actually, I never heard of that about the... I had heard that brown was good for materialism and being industrious and working hard, but on the other hand, I have been unable to proceed forward.
Well, hello, Michael. First of all, you're correct. We are here for a reason. The world, the earth, is a place for us to gain experiences physically because for whatever reason, we were not able to do so in the non-physical. And so, yes, if we ground and balance all of our energies and keep brown around us, it will help keep us centered and bring into our physical reality whatever it is that we thought form project out. And we do need to deal with everything in physical reality.
Oh, absolutely. That's why we're here. And I could never do it. I couldn't visualize. I couldn't do anything. I know all the rules with regard to all that stuff, and it never worked.
Well, have you tried?
That's why I know my feet are very cold, because I'm an energy healer, and I can feel energy in my body all the time. And so I was looking for the solution as to how to unclog them. And I think brown is the solution. And I never have been attracted by materialism particularly. And so therefore, I didn't want to go to a brown and grounding. But obviously, that's what I'm supposed to do. So I'm grateful to you.
Well, I appreciate that. And you know what, Michael? And that is, you know, in God's mind, it's infinite. And there is prosperity and abundance in creation, and we're allowed to have that. Everyone is allowed to have it. There's enough for everyone.
That's what we need to know. That's what we need to do. We need to work, because our thoughts and our consciousness determine our reality, and there are many parallel pasts and many parallel futures, and our choices at the moment as to which one we shall live.
Absolutely correct. That's correct.
And so, it's like a big checkerboard pattern, which past and which future.
You're absolutely correct.
At this moment that we determine that.
That's right. And in fact, if you ever look at my work on simultaneous existences, that's exactly what I state in there.
Okay, well, I'm going to do, what is your website on this thing right now or something?
It's expansions.com.
Okay. Expansion.com. That's easy. You got in there early. You
yeah,
got a one-word website.
Yes, but this, yes, thank you.
Actually, on the show info, the photograph of you, Stuart, is hot-linked to your website. So,
okay.
Again, I will repeat it. Expansions, with an S, expansions.com.
Yes.
And it is a very informative website. Would you like to tell us the titles of some of your books whilst we're in this mode right now? Because I think he mentioned the title also. You've written a number of books.
Yes, eight or nine. Well, and you know, interestingly, I just completed a series of 12 children's books, which are going to be published in the next year or so. Blue Blood, True Blood is a story about the true history of the Earth and how it was colonized. My autobiography is called Montauk Alien Connection, which explains how I came to do this work and who was involved in this government work. I also
have
a book.
Are you Mr. Spurgeon?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, I've heard a few from the Montauk Project. So people should pay attention to those books. They're
yes,
very important. I met one person just at the driving license bureau that was very haunted by them because the spirits were after him as a result of it, or whatever. And so I cleared that up. But on the other hand, there most people are so non-trusting and so afraid that everything's a plot after they come through that with this very sufficient reason, because there's ample reason for that, that it's hard to maintain a connection with them or go beyond that, because every time they see power, they think that there's some diabolical force behind that.
Yes, yes. You know, it's...
I totally understand that.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, thank you for the call, Michael. We really appreciate your calling.
Okay, well, thank you, and I wish you the best of luck.
Thank you
very much.
I have read several of your books, by the way, two or three.
Thank you, Michael.
Okay, have a great night, and do good, and let's get the word out there.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Okay.
Bye.
Okay, go ahead, Stuart.
One of the books that I particularly like is the Hyperspace Helper book, which is has all the exercises all in one place of the visualizations and even deprogramming techniques in there. And then, of course, the Healer's Handbook has healing techniques, color therapy, and in what I have been told is the most comprehensive archetype symbol dictionary that exists so far. So I find a lot of people like to work with that, especially if they're involved in healing and opening DNA sequences.
I really love this, too. It's right in front of me, and in fact, I am a Reiki practitioner, and before I became certified or trained in Reiki, I've been doing healing work for 40 years.
Mm-hmm.
It was just something very natural to me. So I'm really, really appreciating these books. Yes, Hyperspace Helper and the Healer's Handbook, A Journey into Hyperspace. This is really wonderful.
But you know, my favorite of all is the one called Stuart Says, because that was the most fun to write, since it's just my philosophy and ideas on various topics.
Oh,
so
great.
So that's one of my favorites, actually.
I don't believe I received a copy of that one, but...
then we have to send it to you.
Oh, that would be great, and then I can talk about it. And I will be putting this on towardthelight.org, so people will also be able to find you through Toward the Light, and that's something that I like to do. Now, something that was very interesting to me is the material that you shared about the creation of this planet and the species hereon. How or what experiences did you go through that enabled you to glean this information?
Well, again, I have to go back to my days at the Montauk Project, where, you know, they did use technology that was not from this planet. They used technology that came from Sirius A, which they have the most highly advanced technology known so far. And so we did a lot of time travel experimentation, as well as information that was given to the government by these other alien groups. And we learned that this planet was actually first colonized by a reptilian race, which was androgynous, that came from the Draco star system. And it was over the many millennium that they eventually developed into what is now known as the Illuminati, who control the planet, the 13 families basically that control the planet, and the Committee of 300, which are the 300 families underneath them that are working in support of the Illuminati. And if you
very
look
familiar
at the back,
with them.
Yes. Well, if you look at the back of the American dollar, you see this pyramid with the Eye of Horus on top, and then there's a bit of a gap, and then the rest of the pyramid exists. The Eye of Horus, if you look carefully, is actually a reptilian eye with wrinkled skin around it.
Indeed.
And if you look at the gap, that represents that the Illuminati are untouchable and above all else, and no one comes close to them in their opinion.
I think it's really good that this information is coming out, and a number of us are able to connect the dots together, and it's really making a lot of sense. Something else that you mentioned that was so interesting to me and obvious is what you said about the moon.
Yes, yes.
That the moon is the only heavenly body, as it were, in the galaxy that doesn't rotate on an axis. And I thought, he's bloody right.
Yes, one side constantly faces the Earth, which is why there's a dark side and a light side, as if it were a vehicle parked in space, which is exactly what it is. And this was the object that the reptilians drove into the solar system to colonize the planet. And another interesting thing is, if you send a sonic resonance off the surface of the moon, it pings as if it were hollow. It doesn't thump like a solid object.
Yes.
So this is quite interesting. And on a clear night, on a full moon, if you take a telescope and train it on any crater that you wish, you will see activity going on there. You'll see building, you'll see movement, you'll see lights, because it is actually an active base.
I actually had the feeling that that might be the case, and that's indeed not the only one. Am I correct in that?
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, Mars is also inhabited and hollow and has beings living there as well. A lot of them are from here, the Earth beings who live there. And if people knew what's really going on out there, they would absolutely be amazed. And NASA is nothing more than for public consumption. The real space program is way behind the scenes.
Well, it's interesting that even in the past week, I've been receiving a lot of information about hordes of UFOs being sighted, and not just one or two, but hordes of them all at once, like a a swarm of bees or something. It's just in the past couple of days I've received a lot of information about this. So it's not so, it doesn't seem to be so covert as it were anymore, that a lot of this is coming more into the open. It's becoming more obvious. It's being reported all over the place.
Well, just recently in England, commercial pilots reported seeing large objects right off the coast of England.
That's just what I was going to mention. I think we've got another caller, have we?
Okay.
Hello.
Hello.
How you doing? Have a couple questions to ask.
Sure. And who are we speaking to, please?
My name is Joe.
Hello, Joe.
Okay,
go ahead with your question.
I've read the book, The Philadelphia Experiment. I think your host is aware of it, about the Montauk Project, the Philadelphia Experiment.
Yes.
He mentioned about, I guess, technology where they tried to establish invisibility, and eventually they were manipulating. They were trying also from there, trying to time travel. Then they came across with other alien races. He mentioned, was he there, or he just knows these people that were scientists or something? I didn't get the whole story on that.
Yeah, the Philadelphia Experiment was in August of 1943, mm-hmm. and the Montauk Project actually ended in August of 1983, and when they turned the Tesla equipment on the USS Eldridge in Philadelphia Harbor,
right.
the ship actually went into what's called hyperspace, and some of the people connected from there to the Montauk Project, which was also using Tesla equipment, and so it connected through hyperspace, which of course there is no time or space, so it was easily vibrationally connected, creating this loop in time between 1943 and 1983. And so when the USS Eldridge was then materialized back in the harbor, a lot of the sailors who were on board, who were moving through the energy of the vehicle, then became physical, and unfortunately some of them actually became embedded in the ship's hull.
That's what I've read. I guess that project is not going on anymore. There's nothing else going on experimental around there.
There are other projects going on, yes, since then, but that particular project is no longer used because they've gone way, way beyond that technologically since then.
Okay. You also mentioned about, I guess, Genesis as far as creation of this planet and as far as who's involved. You mentioned, I guess, the Illuminati is, the reptilian race.
Yes.
Now, I've heard of the reptilian race actually being, you know, having bases towards England, in England, underneath the surface. Now, isn't there actually confrontations with other aliens trying to stop them? I mean, what's going on as far as trying to stop the Illuminati?
Well, that's a very, very big question. And I can tell you that there is a group of humanity in our solar system which refers to themselves as the Galactic Federation, for lack of a better term. And they are basically colonies that existed from the original Lyrian star system where all humanity came from. And it was the reptilian or the Draco that attacked the Lyrian star system eons ago that caused the human race to fan out into other parts of the galaxy and colonize even what we know now as the Earth. There are beings out there now who are literally blockading the solar system. If you know, in the last year or so, you've been seeing reports on CNN and other news media about these large objects that have been reported in the Kuiper's Belt beyond Pluto. And they said that they had not seen them before, and they don't know exactly what they are, and even mentioned that Pluto itself may not be a planet, but something else. Well, Pluto is actually a probe, if you will, or base of operations in which to observe the Earth. But yes, there's a lot going on out there that people don't realize. The Illuminati are planning a staged alien invasion in order to consolidate global government. But the irony of it is that there very well may be a real alien invasion coming. So it's going to be a very interesting couple of years ahead of us to see what comes first, the staged invasion or the real one.
Do you think that, because it seems like that's what's going to happen in 2012, is that maybe they just show themselves and who knows what's going to happen. At 2012, people think certain things are going to happen. I think that's what they're going to do is probably, you know, come down with certain motherships and say, you know, we control you, so. I'm just curious as what part of the government is actually going to stop them, because I think a lot of people realize certain part of the government is with them, so I guess it's going to be one crazy time. I don't know.
Yeah, well, that's putting it mildly. There's a lot of factions out there, a lot of agendas out there. My experience and information is that if there is an alien race coming to the planet, it's not really coming here to help us, but they have their own agenda. You know, when someone interferes, there's
right.
a reason why they interfere.
They wouldn't be secret about it if they were here to help, right?
Exactly correct.
Now, and so you don't think like other Lemurian or I've heard of other alien races, they're not going to help us as far as if there's something like that happens? You know, anything like that, you know, anyone else knows?
Well, I can tell you that my information is that there's none out there that are truly coming to help, but rather to eliminate the reptilians and the Illuminati. But then what will be in charge afterwards? That's the question. So it's really up to each of us as human beings to take charge of our own selves and take control for humanity as a species.
Now, these certain people that, I guess, are on this planet, you know, human people that are on this planet, that are within the Illuminati, are they actually genetically, like, part alien or no?
Well, the Illuminati have a very high percent of reptilian genetics in them. And in my Blue Blood book, I write about how all humanity on this planet actually does have some percentage of reptilian.
Now, do they have more, you think, or?
Oh, yeah, yeah. In fact, there are some that have 50-50 split and actually can shapeshift between the two species.
Yeah, David Icke spoke about that. Have you actually seen that? Anyone actually seen it? Or?
I saw it right in front of me, yes.
I have too.
Wow.
I have too.
The person actually, you can actually kind of
shifted, yeah, into reptilian.
Wow.
And we're
right,
also
right
talking about interdimensional activity, which I have shared with a number of people that the veils or the walls, as it were, between the dimensions are thinning. And as we raise our vibrational frequency, it's easier to see into and experience other dimensions.
Yeah, I guess we're going to a different dimension ourselves, I guess, this planet maybe. Is that what it is, the energy and everything else?
Well, you know, the Earth just naturally is moving further and further away from the sun. That's just part of the planetary science. And as it moves further away from the sun, the density on the planet gets less and less. And so, yes, over time, there is a greater ability to see interdimensionally than when the planet was more dense.
Wow. That's
a good point, Stuart.
Okay.
And you also mentioned in your book, and we're going to have to close here in just a couple of minutes, is it about Jupiter, something with Jupiter that's going to be changing?
Yes, in 1994, there was the String of Pearl comets that struck Jupiter in 22 separate pieces. Now, interestingly, these pieces broke up and made right-angled turns and hit at specific strategic points. So it was not a natural object.
Oh,
but
just
it was
one quick
designed...
Question. Sorry to cut you off. Just one quick question before I get off. As far as the Creator, how does the Creator come into all this with the angels and everything else?
Let him finish the question, answering the question that I did, and then we can get into that because we are going to have to sign off in a minute. But
yeah.
We do thank you for your call and really appreciate it, Joe.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, love.
And so the Jupiter is being turned into a second sun, and since 1994 it's been heating up, and you know that the red spot is dissipating and new spots are forming, and Jupiter is becoming brighter in the sky. And the reason is that the Illuminati wish to turn the solar system into a binary star system, replicating their home star system in the Draco sector of the galaxy. So yes, you see that they are trying to create a prehistoric type of atmosphere now on the Earth. But to answer that to caller's question, as far as God mind is concerned, we must know that God mind is actually neutral. There really is no divine interference per se, because God mind is infinite and allows all things, and in the infinite realities, everything happens. So there's no need to change anything, since everything does occur. And it's a question of what we choose to focus on and which reality we choose to exist in for our own experience.
Well, that's a very good point and a wonderful way to conclude the show for this transmission of Toward the Light. It has been wonderful having you with us, Stuart, and next week we're going to have your wife, Janet, speaking with us. Really looking forward to that. And again, let's share your website, which is expansions.com, so people can go to expansions.com, find out about all of the work that you are doing and the products that you have got for sale and your wonderful books. It's been wonderful having you with us. Is there one more thing that you would like to announce or share with us before we sign off this week?
Well, I'd want to thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak to your audience. It's been a pleasure to speak with you. And I just would like everyone out there to remove their victimization mentality so that we can regain control of ourselves and of our species and truly have a divine existence.
Well, thank you so much, Stuart. And I would like to remind everyone that it is only with the heart that one sees rightly. What is essential is invisible to the eye. Please remember that only love prevails. This is Reverend Juliet Nightingale signing off for this transmission of Toward the Light. We will speak to you next week. Blessings to all of you.